era where content is king, managing it effectively across multiple platforms has become a significant challenge. Consumers today expect personalized, seamless experiences no matter where they engage with your brand, whether it's on a website, mobile app, or a social media platform. This is where the combination of AI and headless CMS comes into play, offering a powerful solution to enhance content management and create more personalized and engaging user experiences. Welcome to the Analytics Insight podcast, everyone, the show where we explore the intersection of technology and innovation and how they're shaping the future of digital experiences. And I'm your host, Priya Dayalani. Now, headless CMS is a backend-only content management system that decouples the content repository known as a body from the presentation layer or the head. Now, this decoupling allows content to be delivered via APIs to any front-end platform, whether it's a website, mobile app, or any other digital interface. So in today's episode, we are diving into a topic that's transforming the way we manage and deliver content, the integration of AI with headless CMS. So let's welcome Nishant Patel, co-founder and CTO of ContentStack. Hi, Nishant, how are you doing?
Good, Priya. Thank you. Thanks for having me on the call.
Great. It's a pleasure to have you with us on a podcast today, Nishant. And I think we're going to discuss more about headless CMS, which is, to be honest, a very new aspect for me. I'm sure our listeners will also gain a lot of insights from our podcast today. We will, of course, dive deeper into, you know, the core aspects of a headless CMS and why it's important in today's modern business world. We would first like to know more about content stacks. You know, if you could help us understand what exactly is a content stack, if it's offering a specific solution or it's a specialization, if you can share that, it would be great.
Sure, yeah. Content stack, sort of its roots started off as what the industry calls is headless CMS, and we were one of the pioneers in this space. So what we provide is a content management solution that, you know, large companies could use to manage all their content for kind of delivering it to websites, mobile apps, or you know, digital signage, whatever it is. So what we do is we help them manage the content and deliver that content wherever it needs to be. And then the headless bit is, you know, it started out probably, 12 to 13 years ago. We basically took this concept of content management, content delivery. We utilized the cloud at that time and created a system where it was API first. And, back then it was web and mobile. Those are the two channels. And it was important to kind of make sure that both those channels, were taken care of in terms of delivery. Prior to that, it was just a web channel. So, you know, we thought it was time to basically rewrite, content management from scratch and decouple sort of the front end experience, which gets delivered to the web or the mobile app from the content management itself. So that's pretty much headless in a nutshell.
Yeah, definitely makes sense. And thank you for sharing that, Nishant. I think we'll dive deeper into the more offerings or what the offerings of content stack and how they differentiate in the market. Meanwhile, we would also like to know more about you, Nishant, if you can help us understand how has your journey been like till date and what is your role and contribution towards the company as a CTO and co-founder?
Sure. I started my career back in 2000. Started working as a software engineer in a integration company. So software that allows large companies to integrate different, software that they have purchased. This was prior to the cloud. And then in 2007, I decided to, start my entrepreneurial journey. This is right after the advent of the cloud. And what I felt was, everything was going to move to the cloud and integration would be important in the cloud as well. So that was kind of the original thesis. And I went out to start a company. It just so happened that we ended up, just to bring the funds in, we ended up taking on a lot of services just to, basically bootstrap the company. And in the initial days, we helped large companies kind of move to the cloud. Whoever, it was very early. There's a few early adopters, and we were one of the first advanced partners of AWS at that time because we really dove deep into everything that AWS was doing at that time. So we ended up creating a decent sized services company. And while we're doing that, we came across a bunch of opportunities where, given the cloud, we felt it was important for us to just write the software from scratch, because in our mind, cloud basically changed the way software was delivered, in the sense that prior to the cloud, you had software that you had to install per customer, and with the cloud, you could have multi-tenant. You could have just one installation, and you could host many, many customers on that installation. So we felt, certain areas, it was, there's opportunities to basically rewrite software from scratch for the cloud. And so CMS, as part of the services company, we were implementing CMSs, and it was just horrible. These softwares were made for the web, and it was made prior to the cloud. And all these vendors were doing was just taking that and trying to install it in the cloud, just the old way. So we felt, mobile showed up as well. So it was not just the web channel, but the mobile channel that we had to take care of. So we felt, maybe we should write the content management and content delivery, software just from scratch. And we did that. I think that's what ended up being called Headless CMS. And then I eventually got to build an integration platform as a service as well, all in the cloud. And that was called Built.io. So this is all part of the services company. Fast forward to 2018, we're still bootstrapped with multiple products and services business. We decided to, carve out the Built.io, which is the integration platform, as a service product, as well as ContentStack as separate companies. And we ended up selling Built.io to a company called Software AG. And ContentStack, we went down, raising capital, and we're at Series C now. So that's kind of been my journey. And currently, I'm the CTO, and I'm responsible for driving the product vision and execution for ContentStack.
Great. Thank you for sharing that, Nishant. I think your journey has been quite impressive, and you highlighted the entire role and your process of how you you contributed towards ContentStack, and it's very impressive to know about it. I think when you mentioned about or when you spoke about the headless CMS, I think there was a time when every website change meant updating the HTML files and uploading them to a server. Well, definitely that was a pain. But I think we have evolved from this traditional CMS era to something now which we call as a headless CMS era. So I want to understand, what are some key differences how the headless CMS is different from the traditional content management systems?
Sure, yeah. So basically, headless came about because there was more than one channel. So, you could think of all the traditional CMSs, including WordPress, Drupal, Adobe, Sitecore. All these ones were built like in the early 2000s. And at that time, it was only one channel, which was the web. So what these, companies had done was they, the back end sort of content bit, as well as the front end, which was the web. And that, Priya, the HTML and all that code was just mixed in with the content all together into one sort of big blob that would get delivered to the web browser. I guess at that time it was the right architecture because the channel was just the web. With mobile showing up in around 2008, 2009 and just kind of taking off, and then there was, of course, the cloud, which is, like I said, it changed the way software was delivered. It was, you don't have to install software anymore. You could use a SaaS product, right? You just sign up and use a product. So all those things together, I think there were a lot of things that were rewritten, if you will, and that started massive companies, for example, Datadog was log management. We were doing log management before, But Datadog said, well, we could do it multi-tenant and all in the cloud, and let's start a company. You know, I can go down the list. There's so many of these SaaS companies basically rewrote however we were doing certain things into a new way. So in the content space, the multi-channel was very important. You know, when we sort of invented this concept, like I said, it was the web and mobile, and we were expecting at that time to, you know, it to be even more channels, you know, and social was taking off as well, and email, obviously, and of course, digital signages and things like that. So we were expecting that. So we ended up, you know, rewriting the content management, using the cloud, all from scratch, API first. So we separated the content bit. And so when you come into Content Stack, you can model any type of content you need. And, you know, the editors don't have to, you know, look at like HTML code because it's completely decoupled from the content. So you're just managing content. So whatever content you need, either for website, mobile apps, for whatever it is, you could model that in Content Stack just by creating an account and starting to use Content Stack. And then there's a set of APIs that you could, and SDKs as well, to just make it easy to use these APIs in any language, programming language you prefer. You could basically get this content out from Content Stack in absolute, like from a performance wise, less than 200 milliseconds, right? So developers can now completely separate the content from the front end code, and then, you know, which makes it a lot simpler now. So the front end code for the web, front end code for the mobile, it could be anything. It could be a kiosk. It's completely separate from the content, and you know, developers could use our APIs to basically stitch that together. And so it keeps it completely decoupled. You know, and like I said, you know, we manage the delivery of that content as well, and in a highly performant way across the globe. So it's just a much, much simpler sort of version of the CMS that it used to be in the past.
Great. I think the key takeaway is that when compared to traditional CMS, I think headless CMS provides more flexibility and scalability. I believe it's a bit like trading in a reliable sedan for a high performance sports car because it offers more power and flexibility. But I think that we also need more skills effectively to operate a headless CMS. But I think a conversation regarding the headless CMS would be incomplete if we don't talk about artificial intelligence. Because I believe artificial intelligence is, you know, transforming content management by bringing automation, personalization, and even some smart intelligence to the process. So I think when a headless CMS and AI are integrated, I think it gives more leverage to content managers to not only create and organize the content effectively, but it also it also delivers in a way that is highly tailored for individual users, like more of a personalized thing that we're talking about here. We want to know from you, what are some key benefits of using AI with a headless CMS for the overall content management?
Sure. It's, you know, it's pretty exciting right now with what's going on the AI side. So, you know, the way I think of it is our personas or the end users for us, there's, you know, an editor, a person that has to come into the content management and write content and manage content. And then there's the developer, right? So on both those personas, we find, you know, the AI. So, of course, we have a bunch of assistive sort of AI tools that we've added to the Content Stack product, where it helps these users sort of do a lot of sort of mundane things that they had to do on a daily basis, right? To basically get their job done. So at the end of the day, these users should get some of that time back. You know, it could be 1 hour, it could be 10 hours a week where they could do some deep work, right? And find more satisfaction from their daily work than doing all the mundane tasks. So I just from at the, this is kind of table stakes, right? At the very sort of low hanging fruit, that's a pretty big value prop. And then you could think of, you know, content, you know, before you manage the content, you have to plan and you have to ideate, you have to create the content. And there's so much that, you know, obviously these LLMs can do now, you know, it does content generation really, really well. So, you know, we've added assistive technologies where we help these personas, these end users, to even, you know, plan, ideate, and create the content before they have to manage the content. So it's pretty exciting. And of course, the future, you know, there's a lot of things that we feel company like content stack could go towards. You know, the way I talk about it is there's sort of this natural progression, you know, with most of these software companies have figured out sort of the pattern, which is, you know, you start out with sort of assistive technologies, you know, so you see like Ask AI type of UI patterns that show up in the software product, and then you sort of a semi-autonomous world where, you know, AI not just it's doing generation, but it also maybe will automate some of the tasks and take some decisions for you. So that's kind of the semi-autonomous world that we're starting to see, you know, a bunch of things happening, including, you know, look at Apple and Apple Intelligence and all that sort of stuff. So that's kind of the semi-autonomous world. And then there's a promise of a fully autonomous world. That's kind of the end goal, I guess, that will eventually give the end users a lot of time back, which is very valuable, right? So we're tuned into a lot of these things. So currently, you know, from a content side perspective, we're very focused on the assistive side of things. And there's a lot of value that we could provide to our users with AI in just that.
Right. I think I agree with you, Nishan, that AI definitely has a huge power, and it plays a very pivotal role in terms of how content can be managed, even when it's integrated with a headless CMS. So I think moving ahead, when we're talking about like the content management systems, I think there are a lot of other aspects also that come into picture. You know, we are talking about brand consistency, there's content governance. So I think overall content governance is very important in maintaining a very cohesive brand voice, because it aligns content with organization goals and mitigates any risks that's associated with inaccurate or outdated information. So it's more like every user in the organization, from content creators to editors and stakeholders, they get like a structured framework, which, you know, fosters more collaboration, and it maintains quality across various platforms as well. Since we were discussing about AI, what role does AI play in, you know, ensuring this content governance or brand consistency in a headless CMS?
Yeah, it's a very good question. So we've obviously heard about a lot of hallucinations, and, you know, these LLMs, you know, they're very good at kind of, you know, coming up with the answer, but sometimes you have to fact check and make sure that they're not hallucinating, right? So from a corporate perspective, you know, as companies start to use these technologies that we're providing, you know, for us, it was important to kind of put some guardrails around this and reduce the risk of, you know, hallucinations and kind of having content, generated content, you know, you don't want it to, you know, sort of output things that are not to your brand, if you will, right? So we felt, you know, putting these guardrails was very important. And this year we released a product called Brand Kit, which helps our customers capture that brand. Brand message, brand guidelines, brand governance, all those things, you could, you know, put that into the Brand Kit. You could create what we call is a knowledge vault. And, you know, you could add all sorts of rules and help and tips and things like that, that helps the LLM sort of generate content that's speaking to your brand, right? And so there's a concept called knowledge vault. And then we also, within the Brand Kit, have something called a voice profile, which basically you could create profiles for different users, you know, like a CTO, CEO, you know, CMO. You could create these voice profiles that, you know, again, you could put some, you know, some guidance and guardrails within those profiles that helps the LLM basically when it generates the content, it's speaking to not only the company brand, but it's also speaking on the voice of a particular user, right? So we're working, we've added these features, and we have lots planned around this, because content governance, what I usually say is, the AI will generate a lot of stuff, but like getting the trust of the user is absolutely important, and to get the trust of the user, you can't mess up even once, right? So the governance part is absolutely important. You can imagine, we could go to a world where it's in the sort of a semi-autonomous, a timeless world where you let the engine create content, automatically based on certain events that are happening, right? To get to that world, you absolutely have to have 100% trust in the generation part of these LLMs. And so we're working towards a lot of technologies to help our customers basically make sure they're adding and putting the guardrails in and trying to get their trust to where they can completely go autonomous. They could decide, maybe not everyone will go autonomous. The semi-autonomous world, you would always put the human in the loop, right? So we see this actually quite a bit where customers are using our technologies like the brand kit and the auto, the generation of content, but we have workflow features and things like that. So they'll put, the human sort of, in the loop at the very end to just ensure that everything that was generated was, again, speaking to the brand and not 100% trusting the generation. So that still helps with, with time savings and things like that, but ensures that someone is looking at it before it goes live on their end, on the company's website and things like that.
Well, yes, I think trust is a very important factor, which should definitely be considered when we're talking about content and content management system, because I think a lot of user interests are involved in terms of how content is managed and how we're delivering the content as well. When we're talking about differentiation or how we have evolved from a traditional CMS to a headless CMS, I think you have already highlighted the differences between these two. And I think from a security point of view as well, a headless CMS offers more security than traditional CMS. Now, for example, the backend content repository and front-end presentation layer are separated. So there is a very limited surface area for potential attacks. Also, if one part of the system is attacked, it does not affect the other. While this is definitely an added advantage in terms of a headless CMS, it doesn't mean that a headless CMS is immune from other challenges. For example, I think a headless CMS requires more technical expertise to set up and manage. And when we're upgrading from a traditional to CMS, I think there are more components involved. So there is more maintenance involved. All these factors also come into the picture. I want to understand from you, how can companies, overcome obstacles such as data privacy or content bias or any technical complexity when using AI-enhanced content management systems?
Sure, yeah. I think, you bring up an interesting point. So headless CMS, in my opinion, it actually makes it a lot easier than traditional CMSs. So that you have these incumbent companies that we compete with, they keep pushing this narrative of installing software like per customer, although they install it on the cloud and then they call it managed services. So which is again some stuff that I guess the company that's providing the CMS software, it's an ability for them to charge the end customer for managed services. They haven't spent the time to rewrite their software in sort of the cloud way, right? Like, you don't necessarily have to do anything to use something like Facebook or Salesforce, right? It's all just in the cloud. You just go in, log in, and start using it. These traditional CMSs, I think majority of the installations today are still traditional CMSs. There's a lot of maintenance that has to happen. And then you don't get the upgrades automatically. It's once a year, twice a year. you know, either your team is spending time upgrading and installing and not working on, you know, creating the best experience of the web. They're working on like installation, like trivial kind of mundane tasks. It's just waste of time and effort. The headless CMS, again, it's cloud-based, so it's multi-tenant, so there's no setup whatsoever. You come into Content Stack, just use our, you know, web sort of product, and you model the content. You could do that pretty fast, and then you could just download our SDKs and start building the experiences. From that point on, you don't necessarily have to upgrade, install, none of that stuff, right? Our team basically does that on a regular basis, and customers don't even know when the new things are released, and it's a constant update sort of thing that happens automatically for our end customers. So from that standpoint, headless CMS is absolutely easy thing to use. Now getting to sort of the AI bits, let's talk about composability too. So headless CMS is, you know, managing content, delivering content. We talk a lot about composability, as in, you know, the product has to be API first. It has to work really well with all the different technologies that constantly keep coming up, right? And in the traditional CMS world, like what they used to call it, a suite. So if you go to Adobe and, you know, you'll get a long list of products that you basically just one vendor, you go to them and then they give you all these products and a bunch of them are just installed. You have to install them or the company installs them for you. And then there's companies that they've acquired. So as a customer, you're basically buying into Adobe and then you just have to use all their software. Well, today's world, you know, there's so much new things that are constantly coming up. So if you're, you know, a large company, and you have a team that wants to, you know, provide the best experience to your customer, you want to be able to use a lot of these new technologies, right? So it's important for, I believe it's important for these companies to pick technologies that work well with each other. So the composability of those technologies is very important. The headless CMS, like we talk about composable, digital experience platform, which means you could take Content Stack, headless CMS, and then combine in with Commerce Tools, you know, e-commerce and Algolia search. You don't have to pick those technologies from us, right? So we compose, like we let the end user or the customer pick the best technologies and make them work well together. So there's a lot of value in that. And what I always say is like, you know, customers are actually working for creating the best experience, not fighting technologies to make them work well together in sort of the traditional world. And it's still surprising to me that there's so many companies that still continue to use these incumbent sort of CMSs and they don't go towards a sort of new world. It's actually a lot easier, in my opinion, because we use, the normal sort of whatever, you know, you could use JavaScript, you could use PHP, you could use whatever programming language you want with our technology. You're not tied to one sort of technology, right? So it's a lot easier. I think on the AI side, the governance, we already talked about it. You know, there's a lot of opportunity for AI, but, it's important, like, for our customers, we work with large customers. All our customers are large brands. The trust is very hard to get, and we cannot mess up, right? There's no accidents that could happen. So we are spending a lot of time on the governance and privacy and, you know, all those sort of things to make sure that the generation technologies, are speaking to the brand, and it's making sure that it doesn't hallucinate and it sticks to all the governance aspect of the brand, right?
Well, yes, I think that definitely makes sense when you're talking about content governance and the content bias in terms of using a headless CMS, and I think. As the demand for more omni-channel experiences continue to grow, the flexibility of a headless CMS when combined with artificial intelligence will become even more critical. And I think when brands start leveraging these technologies, they will be more better positioned to meet these evolving experiences and demands of customers and, again, stay ahead of the competition. So one last question for you, Nishant. How do you see the integration of AI with headless CMS evolving in the next few years?
Yeah, it's, I would say, a lot of educated guesses, if you will, because, AI itself, just so much innovation and changes going into sort of the base technology, if you will. So what I see is, the example I always give is like the car industry, with Tesla talking about a fully autonomous car. And then you have, a bunch of other car companies that are giving you sort of assistive technologies like lane assist and parking assist and all those sort of stuff, right? And there's also semi-autonomous where you could think of, with Tesla, you could just drive. It takes over driving on the freeways pretty well, but then off freeway, it's not as good. So there's sort of this natural progression of, assistive to semi-autonomous to autonomous. Maybe we'll get to autonomous in our space. I don't know. But you can imagine a world where you're just prompting, you want certain type of experience. So take a brand and they say, well, we want to run this campaign. And you could imagine a tool that basically generates a bunch of campaign ideas based on the prompt. And then, the user could, tweak and enhance, and the AI could be assisting in the enhancement of those campaign ideas that it just generated, and then it would generate the experience for you, be it the web or whatever you want to deliver it to, right? So it could generate a bunch of web pages for you, landing pages automatically that speaks to your brand with design as well as the content, right? It just creates it for you automatically. Could create a web page, it could create a mobile sort of experience, it could create social media posts, it could create reels automatically. So, from a prompt, you could get to sort of an experience, right, that you could deliver in sort of no time. I think that's kind of the promise. And I truly believe we'll get there. I think the users will basically have the tools to tweak whatever was generated and add and enhance it. And then the AI will be like assisting together, brainstorming and assisting towards that experience. And the time today, you could say you want to run a campaign, you have to sit together with the team, ideate. It could take anywhere from like 2 days to like, I don't know, you could, the brainstorming ideation could go on for weeks. And then the development of that experience could take a lot of time, right? We could shorten that into like hours, if you will. So that's kind of the promise. Like you could literally just prompt to experience. And then not just that, I mean, you could, once the experience goes out on the channel, you could, with all the analytics, feed that back into the generation engine for the next time you want to run the campaign. So that loop, that feedback loop, and hopefully we'll get better and better and better so that the prompting gets better, the experience generation gets better, and then the feedback that comes back from the analytics, that whole loop basically just keeps getting better over time. So I feel like the world's going to go towards that. And from a CMS perspective, like I think these technologies should just go away in the background. Like, it's needed. I think the headless technology is needed, but it doesn't have to be in your face, if you will, right? It could be in the background driving that prompt to experience concept. So I feel like it's going to go towards something like this.
Yeah, great. I think the future of content is going to be more flexible, fast, and even intelligent. So whether you're a developer, designer, or a content creator, or even for that matter, business leader or owner, there's never been a more exciting time to be involved in digital content. And all the traditional CMS solutions have dominated the market. I think the emergence of headless CMS will definitely change how enterprises will approach content management. But the only way for brands and these enterprises to thrive in this current digital climate is to keep up with the changes along the way. So the sooner they adopt like a headless CMS solution, the faster they would be able to achieve an edge in the market. Well, thank you so much, Nishant. It was a pleasure having you with us on a podcast today. I think we explored different angles and perspectives regarding headless CMS, and it was definitely insightful to know more about headless CMS and the role of AI in such systems.
Thank you, Priya. Thanks for having me on.
Great. So this is for our listeners. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Analytics Inside. Stay tuned for more such episodes where we explore the technologies and strategies that are shaping the future of digital experiences. Till then, stay tuned, and we will definitely catch you up in our next podcast episode soon. Thank you so much.